I'm sorry. Go ahead, John.
Sure. Now the fifth thing involved in locating the places where they migrate is to actually host your own event, and that means to, you know, host your own networking event or whatever event. It could be a product launch, it could be anything. But I would say networking is a good category, but you can do other things that you think that your target would like as far as events go. If you do your own event, you're locating one of the places where they'll be because you're actually creating a place that they'll be. So, you know, that's actually, you know, and I guess in the expert area, but you can always hire an event planner to put your event together and get some promotions going. And if you have a small business network, you know, you can use that method of promotion by, you know, asking your colleagues and friends to, you know, forward that event along to other people so that they'll come to the event. You know, but, you know, you should know, I guess, you know, whatever target you're in, you should know what kind of events that you target is going to, your target clients or what have you is going to. So a lot of the time it's not too far-fetched to put that kind of event on yourself, draw those people, and then, you know, at the event you don't have to ram it down their throat what it is that you do, but you can, in a very professional way, showcase, you know, what it is that you're selling. And, I mean, tons of people get clients this way. You know, we get clients this way too. And, you know, that's a good way to draw people to you.
I was gonna say, you know, preparing for your own event, I'm sure that probably takes a lot of, I don't know if I want to say a lot of work, but obviously it takes a lot of forethought in terms of thinking of what type of event that you're trying to have. You know, there is a question in the chat room. I want to throw this out there because it could also relate to what you just said, John, versus if you didn't prepare for an event and you went to an event. But I was expecting to get this question, and it's come up. Here it goes. Events can be very expensive, as there always seems to be a hefty administration charge. What are your recommendations on targeting a low-cost networking events if you are on a shoestring budget? So that's one question. If you're going to an event and you're selecting an event, but then on part B of that question is, if you're thinking about putting together an event for yourself, are there ways to provide, I don't know if I want to say an economical cost event that's going to get you the return on investment that you're looking for?
Well, you have to look at events twofold, okay. Definitely, when you do this. And we've been doing events for, I guess it's been about 6-7 years now, and we're still in the game. And the thing is that you want to look at it twofold. What is your takeaway from the event? Are you looking to gain clients, or are you looking to have an event that's going to you know, you're just going to make money from actually throwing the event? Because, you know, a couple of great friends of mine, you know, they throw events, huge events, and, you know, their actual business is the event. You know, in my case, we do successful events as well. However, a lot of the times we can do events where we're looking just to gain clients. So you can do an event pretty affordably. You have to find an alliance with a venue. You know, you have to form an alliance with a venue. It doesn't have to be a super tight alliance. I know I'm speaking to business people, so, you know, in business it's just something, you know, it's, you know, what can you give them as well as, you know, as far as them letting you use their venue. Or you can use your own office. If you have your own office, you can use your own place of business for an event. I know a lot of businesses do that. I think that's a great thing because you're bringing people into your business. You're showing them, you know, where you operate. And if you have a great professional office, you know, that's great. Now, if you don't, there's tons of there's hotel rooms. I'm not rooms. I mean, there's hotel. You know, when I say rooms, I mean conference rooms and so on.
Conference rooms, right.
You can get restaurants. A lot of restaurants have an extra room in their restaurant for parties and so on. So a lot of times the restaurant will let you use their room. You'll have to pay a fee. Sometimes you can get it where you don't have to pay a fee. But as far as we're talking, economy or, you know, eco-friendly or events where they don't cost too much, you have to think about what is the takeaway from the event. Okay, so if I get one client, if I have 30 people at my event and I'm able to get one client, how much is that client going to bring my business? And if it's going to beat the price of what the event cost to put on, then it was absolutely worth it if you're going to make a profit from that. Because
right.
one client obviously can lead to more clients, obviously, because
yep.
of referrals. So it's not just the bottom line that you get from that one transaction with the client, but it can also lead to other things. So if you did an event once a month and you got one client and it always made a profit, then I think it would be worth doing until you had a growing or a steady client base. If that's like maybe a new person that asked that question, it's something that you can do continuously to actually grow your base. Because I'm telling you, people really want to go to events. A lot of people just want to get out of the office. If you're B2B, they want to get out of the office and go somewhere to a networking event, or people just like places to go. And, go ahead, sorry.
No, I was going to say, and it sounds like you have a preference, John, just for clarification for my audience. When you talked about person-to-person networking events versus online, I know it sounds like you have more of a preference of a person-to-person type networking, just getting out of the house and getting among folks in a more, I guess, close proximity physical standpoint. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And that's because I noticed that any referral, a lot of my business comes from referrals.
Right.
And I know that the referrals that I get, are people that I know, like, and trust as well. So, when people say networking doesn't work, I really believe it's because, they're not taking advantage and doing the right things because as far as the business relationships go. I think that's really, really important. I mean, I've gotten job offers. I've gotten jobs, employment. I've gotten business from just from people referring people to me.
But that's just to kind of jump in here, John. That's from you getting out of the house and physically
Absolutely.
Meeting with people versus joining groups and staying in your house and going online. So the preference would be, or the favorite would be, getting out and going physically to events to meet these people or engage with these people. Is it right?
Definitely.
Okay.
Because
okay.
you can be online and you can chat and so on. Now, obviously, territorial restrictions out there.
Sure.
For example, if you got a person in California and you're in Philadelphia, you obviously can't go meet for coffee.
Right.
Not usually anyway. But when you're online talking to someone locally, you can definitely say, hey, let's meet up in person, or I'll be here. And you can, and I think that some people feel like that's awkward. But once again, that all comes from taking the first step and definitely building your skill. And building that skill is described in the Rapport Superstar. That's my paperback, my book on Kindle. Sorry for the cheap plug, but that's
absolutely. Okay.
Yes, that's one of the one of the things that I teach in my workshops and so on, is how to actually build a relationship and get over the shyness, get over the feeling awkward and so on, as when it comes to building your business network.
Yeah.
So hosting events, I guess we're just about over halfway through. So I have a bunch more things here. Did you have another question before I go
no,
to the
I don't
next?
No, another question. If anyone wants to call in, again, the number is 347-838-9979. Press number 1 on your keypad. If you do have a question for John, I will see that you do, and I'll get you on immediately. Okay, John, go ahead.
Continue. Okay. So step number 3 would be to organize your plan of action, including what the desired results are. You want to organize what you're actually going to do. And when I say organize your plan of action, keep in mind what the results are. When you go to create your networking goals, you definitely should have networking goals. That's the thing as far as networking goes as well. People go out and they say, I'm going to go network, I'm going to go meet people, and they actually haven't factored in what their business goals are. Really clearly. Usually someone has some kind of business goal. I'm going to go out and get a lot of clients, but they really haven't sat down and put together how many clients do I need to make X amount of dollars and so on. A lot of people just don't do that.
Right.
But there are the other people that do know their numbers, and they also, I think one of the steps in sales, obviously, is to sit back and think, actually, once again, who is my company or myself, who have I had the most success with?
Right.
And to identify those people as you get ready to go out and network. So it's just a quick outline. So the first thing you should, when you're organizing your plan of action, you're going to say, okay, I'm going to go to a networking event, or I'm going to go to social events, and you want to have your elevator speech. I know people have probably heard this a million times about an elevator speech or an elevator pitch. And what an elevator pitch is a 30 to 60 second commercial about what your business is, what you do, what you can help people to do. And it describes what your business does and how you can help people. And they call it an elevator speech or pitch because it's if you're in an elevator for, you know, 30 seconds or 15 to 30 seconds or longer, if someone asks, what do you do, and they happen to be a potential client, you want to be able to blurt it out pretty quickly and say what it is you do. So elevator speeches change a lot as you go along. Our slogan for our company, an elevator speech, I guess, for me, is that we help professionals to obtain business networking excellence. And, when I say that, that kind of makes a person ask the question, well, what does that mean? You know, and then I go into how we do that, you know, with our seminars. We teach people, I'm a business networking coach. We teach people how to improve their business networking and even social media and so on. So it opens up the door for somebody to ask you, to ask you a question, make a little provocative. And
I was going to say, we call that the bite in the sales business, John, which
uh-huh.
is give them just a little bit to be inquisitive so that they ask the question. And guess what? You just increased your time in the elevator and probably off the elevator. So that's exactly
absolutely
right. Yep.
Absolutely. Because once that happens, you know, if the person's in a rush, they say, if you want to learn more, you know, here's my number, or
yep.
let me give you your card, and they'll say, definitely call me, or what have you. But it opens up the dialogue. Keyword,
yep.
it opens up the dialogue.
Yep.
So in the plan of action, you want to also schedule how many events or time, even online, that you're going to spend. This is people that are just hammered with time restraints and so on. So, you know, you can get lost on the Internet. You can get on the Internet and surf, and before you know it, 3 hours has gone by, and you really haven't gotten any work done, or you've been, just messing around on the Internet and haven't really done anything. So you want to schedule how long you're actually online in these groups. You can actually, for example, like as I said, a strategy earlier was to go into the groups that you're targeting. And actually, I didn't really go through it that much. But if you go through these groups that you're targeting, you can kind of build up your expert status by asking the right questions within the group or commenting on the posts that are already there. That's actually a great way to show your expertise and to kind of segue into the service that you provide as well.
Mm-hmm.
You don't I think on LinkedIn you don't always have to segue into the service you provide, because on LinkedIn obviously the person can look at your comment, and if you said something that interesting, they can
right.
go back and look and see what it is that you do, which is
right.
one of the great things about LinkedIn as well. But this is on any business networking website. And I didn't touch, I just want to go back for 2 seconds and touch on that strategy, because that strategy is actually something that you can use on a Facebook fan page if you have a target market that you're looking to sell to. And there's a lot of targeted local fan pages that are, you know, they're eccentric towards an industry that a person's target may be in. And you can go to the Facebook fan page, and you can actually look at some of the comments on there, and you can do the same strategy. Obviously, you have to like the person's page first, and then you can get in there, and you can actually comment on some of the subject matter that's in there, and people see your comments.
Yeah.
You know, so that's a great way for self promotion and exposure.
Yep.
And the other thing is to this goes into the relationship cycle, which I'm excited to talk about this, because I think that the guy who goes into networking events and says networking doesn't work and he tries to sell and so on, this is the part that he or she doesn't understand. The subject matter that you are going to discuss as you're putting your plan of action together, you should plan what the subject matter is, phase 1, phase 2, phase 3, phase 4, and so on. When you're going to a networking event, and this I think is what I'm going to say is really helpful to a person who may have felt like they were spinning their wheels. When you plan your subject matter and you know that you're doing this in stages instead of trying to get everything in one shot, then you'll understand this a little bit better. When you go to a networking event, if you choose that route, or even online, if you're commenting, remember the cycle of exposure, I guess. For example, if you go to a networking event, you meet someone, you're asking them about their business. They ask you about your business. You talk about business. But then one of the things you can also ask, because you're just meeting initially, is what is a typical day like for you? You know, what's a typical scenario like for you? Or how was your day today? Was it typical, or you know, was it different from typical? Was it exciting today? And a lot of times people will say, and they'll kind of give you an answer. They'll say, it was just the same old day, you know, same old thing today as yesterday. I say, oh, really? It's like, oh, so do you like what you do? You know, and you kind of go into, you're not getting really personal,
right?
But you're asking a personal question, but you're not going too deep into their life. You know, you're just kind of asking them what do you like and so on. So from those types of questions, now you start to open up dialogue, and you're allowing the person to talk about their favorite subject, which is them. So that's usually what people like. They like to talk about themselves, and people feel a lot comfortable if you use your ears. I have a chapter in the Rapport Superstar about effective listening, because listening is looked at as a passive activity, but it's really an active activity if you use it the right way.
Yeah.
You know, if you ask a person a question and then you really listen. Some people ask questions, they go halfway, they ask questions and ask questions, but they don't really listen. You have to really listen to what the person is saying. Then say, okay, gotcha. And then you'll also, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I do a, I have a segment of a type of a training that I do. It talks about the levels of listening. So I'm almost jumping out of my chair listening to you talk about listening skills, because there's different formats of listening, and what you just kind of described is not the act of listening. It's the listening. I'm looking at you. I'm kind of hearing what you're saying, but I'm either trying to prepare what my comeback is going to be, or it's all about me, and I'm just looking at you just to give you respect to let you know that I'm phonally listening to you.
Yes, that is very, very common. Because
I
think we all get anxious. I'm not exempt from that. I get anxious as well sometimes when I'm talking to somebody and you just kind of want to talk, you know. But one of the things I learned, I guess, from one of my coaches is when you feel like that, it sounds silly, but you can actually put your hand over your mouth to stop yourself from talking, kind of remind yourself, listen.
That's a good idea.
Listen. But I guess I was talking about the relationship cycle. And when you're talking, I guess I tangented off a little bit right there. But when you look at it in stages, you're thinking, okay, I'm going to a networking event. I'm going to just meet people. Tonight is just the first time I'm meeting somebody. And sometimes if you go to enough, like I do, you see people that you've met several times.
Sure.
Which is great, because that makes the relationship a little bit stronger.
Yeah.
You know, that you're talking again. So as you go to the first event, you're thinking, I'm just going to meet people. I'm going to get cards. I'm going to, take steps to remember the conversations that you had, and then you won't be able to help yourself but to remember those good conversations when it's all over with. So that's the first stage. The second stage is obviously to follow up with the person and, you know, have coffee or something, or have lunch, or, and I'm going to get into that. That's actually in the fifth step, but the first stage is to obviously just meet and talk and develop a magic word, once again, rapport. Develop a good rapport.
Yep.
The first, you know, and once you develop that rapport, you can become a rapport superstar, and that's what my theme is that you can become a rapport superstar. You always have the option of taking it to a step further.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so. Thing is to remember that relationship cycle and to just develop rapport, and then from that point you can do a number of different things. So this is in the organizing the plan, once again. You have to come up with the number of the amount of friendly follow-up meetings, either weekly or monthly. I make it a practice to go to at least two networking meetings every week. Networking meetings meaning going out and having coffee or lunch or breakfast with someone that I've met at a networking event, or someone that I've already have an established connection with, and saying, hey, you know, we haven't talked for a while, you know, let's go have lunch, you know, or let's go, you know, have breakfast, or let's go have coffee at Starbucks or something. These are the kind of things that, you know, people don't look at as networking, but it absolutely is. You know, people look at networking as, oh, I'm just going to go to an event and exchange cards, but networking is process. You're going to meet the person, you're going to develop a relationship, and then you're going to, you know, see what happens with it. And that's, you know, you should plan out with your, when you organize your plan of action, you should plan out what, you know, how many events you're going to go to. I'm sorry, how many meetings you're going to have weekly or monthly. Now I'm going to fly through the rest of it. See, we have about 9 minutes left.
Yeah.
Also want to rate the method, take track the rate and the method of perpetual communication, meaning how many, and I think I just said that, how many coffee meetings or you know, networking meetings are you going to go to per week? I said my minimum is two. So I try to get on at least those every week, every single week. The fourth step is to execute your plan and to get engaged. And so the thing is, as you've come up with those first three steps, now it's time to get out and attend and participate in the planned activity that, you know, that you set up. Make sure that you get out there and get it done. The step two in that is to keep the schedule and tweak it as needed, because you might sit back and say, okay, I'm going to make sure that I go on three networking events a week, and then I'll have 12 appointments every week. But then you might get into that flow and say, this is too much. I can't do this. This is impossible. So now you have to actually tweak it. You know, don't stop and get discouraged, but you just have to tweak it. You know, the relationship comes, you know, in that follow-up meeting. So you can't just not go to any follow-up meetings and so on and say, it just doesn't work. It's too much. You know, you have to tweak it to your schedule.
Sure.
And you have to be engaged in that process. And also, once again, adjust the subject matter as needed, initially and in the follow-up conversations. When you meet someone in a networking event, you know, you, once again, as I said, you just want to develop rapport. You want to get your rapport going, sit back later and say, who did I really get a good feeling about? Who did I really have chemistry with? And adjust your subject matter. When I say subject matter, I mean when you are speaking to them initially, because you're asking questions and listening, you know, you're going to adjust what you're saying to them in a way that's going to make the conversation positive.
Right.
And it's going to keep it going in a positive way. But now it comes to the follow-up part, where you're having follow-up conversations either through email or through telephone, and you're going to make sure that the things that you discuss, once again, are a continuation of the previous conversation. So you're going to, you know, you're not going to turn the positive vibe into a negative vibe. You're going to keep the conversation positive, so that it'll lead to, if anything, a friendship. You know,
yep.
There's nothing wrong with making friends. You know, a lot of people, I met with a guy a couple of weeks ago. He's a younger guy, and nothing against younger people, by the way, because I'm in my 40s. But I just think that when I met with him, it was meant to be a networking meeting. You know, we're meeting, we're going to, you know, it's just a rapport builder. We're going to talk about our businesses and so on. But and obviously life as well. I mean, that's one of the things that, you know, you have to do that when you're building businesses. You don't have to be personal, get too personal, but you should talk about, you know, things in life that, you know, kind of make you feel comfortable with each other.
Absolutely.
So he pulled out his sales material and was showing me all these things I could buy from him. And, you know, immediately that kind of just, it made me uneasy. That, you know,
right.
I feel well. Like, I was asking him, like, you know, so are you from the area? You know, do you grow up here? I asked him these questions because I'm trying to develop a friendship or something, but he was really interested in selling something. And not that I wouldn't have bought from him, but on his end, he has to think, why would I refer someone to you? Like, I don't know much about you. That's the thing about businesses, large and small, what maybe a lot of people don't know, is that those decisions made in businesses, even in multi-billion-dollar acquisitions and so on, are usually from, you know what, I know Bill, and he's got this company, he's looking to sell it. You know, I'll sell it to this person, or so on and so forth. Like, it happens from the small scale to the large scale. So making those, you know, making networking work in that way is key, you know. So that's what I'm saying. Like, the networking meeting that I had, you know, I kind of said, hopefully we'll be able to build a relationship in the future, you know, but right now he was kind of in a hurry, something. And then as soon as he was finished showing me what it was and saw that I wasn't really interested in buying, he was gone really fast.
I was going to say, John, it comes across as a really insincere approach. You know, we're getting down to the last few minutes of the show. We've got to have a part two, because I don't want you to really quicken up, John, because I want everybody to really get a grasp of all five steps. So if you're in agreement, I'd love to have you come back for a part two. Is that okay?
That's no problem. I can do that.
I would love to have you come back, only because we want to make sure that everybody gets to your last few points and not having you quicken up. And also, too, I want to make sure that you have some time to leave your contact information for my audience, too, as well.
Sure.
So while we plan for the part two, for the last few minutes of this show, can you just leave everybody your contact information as well?
Absolutely. My contact information, you can go to check out my website, which is busyvents.com. You can also check out the Rapport Superstar on Amazon.com, and it's Rapport Superstar, Blueprint for Networking Success.
Great. Thank you so much, John. I don't want to say thank you so much, John, because I want to have a part two. I want to promise my audience. I want to kind of get you back to kind of finish up, because this is a subject that's so important, and quite frankly, not only to the sales profession, but it's important to everybody to really understand there really is a strategy behind networking. It's just not all about just going to meetings and just, you know, haphazardly trying to meet as many people as you can. But you obviously, from what you mentioned to us, John, you obviously have to have a plan up front before doing that. And so we want to make sure that we get your plan in some entirety. So, again, if I get your agreement to come back for a part two, we're okay with that?
You have my agreement.
All right, wonderful. We'll actually set that up, John. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to tonight's show, the Sales Professional Network. I hope you got a lot out of it, and I promise everybody we're going to have John back to kind of finish the part two of this segment, networking, how do you build a powerful business network. Thank you so much, everyone, for visiting us tonight, the Sales Professional Network. Hope we have you back for next Tuesday's show. Thank you so much.